Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
This interview is sponsored by a new and standout destination in Starkville, Mississippi, Alora Modern Wellness. Founded by longtime healthcare professionals Rich and Lisa Lopez, Alora blends advanced technology with personalized care to help you feel your best. Whether it's whole body cryotherapy to reduce inflammation, an infrared sauna to detox and relax, LED light therapy to recharge at the cellular level, or assisted stretching to improve mobility, Alora has something for everybody. Their mission to provide science-backed wellness in a calm, welcoming space. Whether you're recovering from a tough workout, managing stress, or just investing in your long-term health, Alora is your modern approach to feeling better mind, body, and soul. Stop by 821 C Highway 12 right across from Kroger or explore more at AloraModernWellness.com.
We're talking about Arizona State on the opponent preview. That means we're not too far from the start of the college football season. Brad Denny, kind enough to join us again. Speak of the Devil podcast, 3 TV, CBS 5 out there in the Valley of the Sun. And Brad, you know, we go back a year having you on this podcast, and we talked about, hey, this is Arizona State team. They should be, you know, improved, and they should be exciting. Neither one of us thought when we were talking in mid-August that was going to be a college football playoff team. What was that ride like for you covering this team?
It was pretty wild. You know, I've seen a lot. I've covered this team since 2011, so there's been far more lows than highs. There's been some impressive moments, but yeah, I thought ASU was going to be good, or at least better than that first kind of really injury-plagued season that Kenny Dillingham had to deal with. They made some under-the-radar moves, and they had, you know, but they were betting on, you know, is Sam Levitt going to be the guy? You know, how is this scrappy running back going to turn out? But everything kind of just fell into place. And kind of in retrospect, you know, the team culture that was kind of jumped out a little bit in fall camp and over that offseason, it really came to the forefront and just kind of being a way that this team was in like one score games, it seemed like every week, but somehow, some way found a way to win. And, you know, everybody, you know, even the coaches that I've talked to, it's been like, yeah, like no one expected this level of success this soon. And so, but what kind of jumped out to me is like during that ride and just as the, especially the back half of the season, as those big wins came and all of a sudden, there's a berth in the conference title game, then a berth in the playoff, a bye, no less. It was just like this team kind of like about the two-thirds of the way through the season, like a switch flipped. Like they weren't just kind of surprised and happy to be there. They kind of felt like, okay, no, this is what we've earned. And I think that really helped power them a little bit. And you know, obviously, things are setting up to be narratively quite different heading into this year.
Well, you mentioned the word power. Cam Scadaboo's name will immediately come to mind. Dominated Mississippi State a season ago. Arizona State on the ground in that game was absolutely unstoppable. And I remember talking to you about that game. And, you know, I said, from Mississippi State perspective, you've got to put this game into Sam Levitt's hands. You can't let Scadaboo beat you. That's exactly what they did, and beat them they did. Now he's off to the NFL. Who's the first guy up to try to replace what have got to be some massive shoes there?
Yeah, that's really been kind of the big question, especially kind of externally on a national basis. And people just see, you know, Scat, you know, being, you know, taking nothing away. I mean, he last year just rewrote the record books and just did so much and was off the field, was just as instrumental in terms of being a voice, a leader, the heart of that team. But I think some folks maybe just see that his absence, not see what actually is back. I'm actually pretty bullish. For the first time in maybe 8-9 years, they're probably going to be heading in with a by committee approach. Kyson Brown was Scat's number two a season ago. I'm really impressed with this kid. I mean, he's a really smart, smart player. He's in the Honors College here, but he runs with power, runs with speed. He fits kind of that all-around, all-purpose back that teams want. But I don't, you know, I think he could handle a load and maybe not get to the heights that Scat did. But I don't think he's going to have to. They have Relique Brown returning, who was pretty much out all last season with injury. Former five-star recruit, USC signee, played a little bit, but he's kind of the lightning to the Kyson Brown's thunder component. If he can stay healthy,
they've been using him. That's some gimmick infringement with this podcast here. We can't have that.
He's been a real explosive guy. Also, add a little bit, and then I think some of the national folks see that Kanye Udo came off 1,100-yard season, 10 touchdowns a season ago for Army. In spring, it took him a little bit, you know, going from that that triple option to a more modern offense. But he's looked really good in fall camp. So I think we're going to see as I mentioned, for the first time in a while, the offense really kind of really a by committee approach. And it's interesting that all three of the backs kind of present a little bit of something different. And offensive coordinator Marcus Arroyo has been really kind of happy and kind of almost borderline giddy in terms of like the way he's able to kind of deploy these guys instead of just having, one guy, a guy who put a great season together, but not necessarily one guy that he has to necessarily has to shoulder the load of the ground game.
And then from a passing perspective, I think this should be take a big step forward. Sam Leavitt, to me, is one of the top returning quarterbacks in college football. Jordan Tyson looks like a first rounder coming into the season. Is this an Arizona State offense you think could see itself maybe evolve a little bit more as a passing threat?
Absolutely. And I think that's going to be part of the reason why the run game won't necessarily have to be, as productive in terms of, replacing Scat, because I think, obviously Jordan or Sam Leavitt is getting a lot of, praise, a lot of first round projections, some Heisman buzz a little bit. You mentioned Jordan Tyson. I believe today earlier it was an AP first team All-American selection. And, that combination is going to be really good again. But I think the big question for the pass game is like, all right, what else? Because last year ASU kind of got by with Jordan Tyson being the clear go-to guy and then some scraps for some other stuff. I think, deep now coming into this season, defenses are going to see that Scat's not there anymore, and they're going to maybe try to put a little bit more pressure and maybe roll those coverages over Jordan Tyson's way. So I think one of the more interesting things for me in the passing game is how are the other receivers and the tight end group going to factor in? One guy that I really think is going to play a key role is an Alabama transfer, Jaron Hamilton. He has been lights out in fall camp, probably the overall team MVP, which is saying something with a team with like Jordan Tyson and the Sam Leavitts of the world. But he presents an element in terms of with his speed that I think ASU's offense kind of lacked a little bit, and especially after Jordan Tyson went down with an injury late last year, the real dynamic kind of shifted, and thankfully Scat was superhero then. But I think that's going to be big. The tight end group is pretty deep as well. Shamar Mater was an All Big 12 selection, second team a year ago. They added Kamari Anderson from Kentucky. He has been really impressive at adding a more athletic element. So you're probably going to see an offense that's using, some more 12 personnel, but with having the ability to have some another receiver not named Jordan Tyson be an actual threat DCs have to worry about could be some where Sam Leavitt's able to take that next step.
As good as Arizona State was on the offensive side of the ball in the game against Mississippi State last year, they were even better on the defensive side of the ball, especially on the line of scrimmage. I think State only 20 yards rushing, something like that. It was a ridiculous number, and it played a big role in why State didn't win the game. They just could not move the chains on the ground. What about this Arizona State defense coming into this season? What do they look like?
So the offense is getting a lot of the hype and the publicity, but honestly, I think the defense is going to be the strength of this team. Pretty much everybody, not named Shamari Simmons, is back. They added some other key pieces to address some depth issues. It kind of starts up front. I think the run defense is going to be really good again. They got a budding star in CJ Fite, who had some All Big 12 honors. He's looked really good. The one issue that I think plagued ASU's defense a season ago was the lack of a pass rush. Just 24 sacks over the course of the entire season. I think the talent level was much higher than their actual production. Their top four edges have really transformed their bodies. Kenny Dillingham's raved about them a few times in fall camp, just how impressed he is in terms of their dedication. You have Clayton Smith, the former five-star Oklahoma transfer. Justin Watley, the Cincinnati transfer, I think has really been super impressive to me. They have real depth there, but we'll actually see if that ultimately translates to better success in the pass rush. I think at linebacker, they're pretty good. Jordan Crook and Keyshawn Elliott are the two names to know there. They'll be the presumed starters in the 4-2-5. Both have been in their second year of the defense. They've been looking more fluid. The back end, I think, is really solid. They returned both their starting safeties, starting corners. The big question is Shamari Simmons, who was kind of the Scat equivalent on the defense, the heart and soul, the unsung playmaker. Folks saw in the Peach Bowl. He unfortunately had to miss the first half due to a targeting call in the Big 12 title game, but in Texas had some fun. And that second half, he comes in immediately, forces get in on that safety. He's gone. So that's been like kind of for me, like one of the key battles of camp is how that's going to be replaced. They have a youngster, Montana Warren, they really like. They brought in a veteran, Kendrick Breedlove from Purdue. That's been a battle. We'll see, still see how that's going to play out. But overall, I think this defense has a chance to be pretty good.
So top-notch QB, top-notch receiver, an 1,100-yard transfer running back, And then you mentioned the defense bringing back all this talent. It feels like Arizona State is poised to make another run at the Big 12 championship. I like talking about the Big 12 because I feel like it's such a crapshoot. Everybody can probably have a chance to win. I mean, Arizona State was picked last year and ended up winning it and had Texas on the ropes there. How big is this game in Starkville for Arizona State? It feels like last year that game was a little bit of a launching pad for them. It got people talking about Arizona State. If they go 2-0 against an SEC team, even to a team like Mississippi State that's downright this second, it feels like that could also be another thing that they should be a top 10 team when they arrive in Starkville. They could be off and running with another win.
Yeah, I think it's low-key a very important game for the Devils. Yeah, I think so. You know, some folks might just see, you know, Mississippi State, you know, being, you know, a program that's, you know, finding its footing. But it's going to, I mean, this is an SEC opponent on the road. It's going to be a big time test, and, you know, presumably a pretty raucous atmosphere. So, you know, ASU had some problems on the road to start off last year. They had to make a pretty big rally at Texas State. Then their first conference road trip to Texas Tech didn't go too well. And, you know, those were some things that ultimately got ironed out as over the course of the season. But yeah, I think this is going to be a really important game just for a lot of these pieces. And, you know, after the opener against Northern Arizona, how is this team going to respond to hype? Yeah, you mentioned the narrative has been well worn at this point of just this team came in and shocked the world last year. Well, now they're the team with the target on their backs. So how are they going to be able to respond against, you know, another Power Four opponent? That's, you know, where no matter where they rank in the SEC, that's still an SEC roster. So it's going to be a real stern test on the road. And I think we're going to learn a lot about how this 2025 group of Sun Devils is able to kind of pick up from where the 24 is left off.
It really is a big game for Arizona State. It's a massive game for Mississippi State. If they want to show that they've improved this year, they need to be able to win this game at home. I don't know that they'll be able to do that. This is a very good Arizona State team coming to Starkville for the second half of this series after last year's game in Tempe. Brad Denny, Speak of the Devil podcast. Always appreciate your time, man. I'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks when we're actually talking about this game happening.
Absolutely, yeah. We definitely got to get you on the show as well to talk some Bulldogs.
Let me know. Talk to you later, man.
Have a good one.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.